This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, once again it is a great honor for me to introduce our guest speaker who doesn't need any introduction here at the masjid. Alhamdulillah, it is none other than Zaid. Sheikh Zaid Fattar, the director of At-Tawheed Institute in South Africa and the senior lecturer at Medina Institute, inshallah. So without further ado, I'll hand over to Sheikh Zaid, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والجنة للموحدين ولا عدوان إلا على البغاة الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم عبده ورسوله أما بعد Honorable fathers, honorable brothers, honorable mothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. First and foremost, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we place salawat and taslim upon the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam as a means of barakah. It is indeed an honor and a privilege for me to be standing here today. I think the last time I was honored to be in this beautiful masjid amongst this beautiful people was plus minus almost 4 years ago. So alhamdulillah, it's really nice to be back and see the familiar faces. And I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all always together upon khayr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers upon iman, Allah gathers upon taqwa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that as we are gathered here today, that we will gather in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jamaat al-Muslimin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent the deen of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam as an absolute constitution and way of life. When we look at the Sharia, we understand that it's not an aspect for merely just ibadah. It is not merely an aspect that teaches me how to make salah. It is not merely an aspect that just teaches me how to fast. Neither is it an aspect that only speaks to me about how do I deal with business and trade. But when we look at the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single aspect that the human is exposed to, you will find that the guidance lays within the Quran and the authentic sunnah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And I start with that particular statement because many a times, especially with all the challenges and the trials and tribulations that we are facing today, unfortunately, at times we find ourselves confused looking for hidayah. Unfortunately, times we find ourselves running to every other avenue except the avenue that Allah had honored this ummah with. And that is the avenue of ma qala Allah wa ma qala Rasul. What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? And what is it that the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had mentioned to us? Because we need to know the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that today, and this was on the last hajj of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today I have completed and perfected your religion. Now let's just take a moment to understand that, Jamaat al-Muslim. Because many a times we look at that as an abstract idea, that it exists just beyond the practical implications of this dunya. That unfortunately, we find some saying that, look, deen is one thing, life is another thing. Deen is one thing, politics is another thing. Deen is one thing, the social environment and understanding is another thing. Deen is one thing, the academic world is something else. And this is because of lack of understanding when looking at the holistic understanding of what the deen actually caters for. Because when we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that today I have perfected and completed your religion, in no way is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to allow that a human comes on the day of Qiyamah and says, Ya Rabbi, maaf if I took this avenue, but there was no guidance from your side, Ya Rabbi. That is not going to happen. Because indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be described in a way that is ignorant about a particular aspect of this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with all perfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with all knowledge. And that is why when we start looking at the Quran and authentic sunnah, we have to keep in mind the manner that we interrogate the Quran and sunnah. The manner that we understand and we, let's say, investigate the Quran and sunnah. Because at the end of the day, you're not investigating some paper of some sort of academic. You are dealing with the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are dealing with the sunnah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. That whatever the Nabi alayhi wa sallam speaks of, whatever comes from his blessed mouth and tongue, know that it is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now of course every Muslim and every mu'min knows that yes, aql, rationality, plays a role within the Muslim's life. There's no doubt about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many ayat indicates to that. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ أَفَلَا يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. All of these different words that is described to indicate to reason, understanding, and let's say rationality. But in no way has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us and he commanded us that what your hierarchy of understanding should be is the aql. Never. In actual fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when you find yourself coming across a dispute, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, obey Allah and obey the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and those who are your leaders that are in conformity to ma qala Allah wa ma qala Rasul. Because take note, the word obedience is only mentioned for the first two categories. There was no obedience mentioned in the second one. It's understood that it falls within the first two. Meaning, if the leader does not conform to ma qala Allah wa ma qala Rasul, then there's no obedience. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, La ta'ata li makhlukum fi ma'siyatil khaliq. There is no obedience to obey the creation if it is at the risk of disobeying the creator. So therefore, when we understand that our fundamental starts with qala Allah wa qala Rasul, our hierarchy of using and determining what is good and what is bad is not my intellect, but it is my understanding of the Quran and Sunnah. Because we know we do not think alike. There's no human being that 100% thinks like the next human being. It is as different as our fingerprints, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not to create us to think alike. In actual fact, somebody might see something from a specific perspective and the person sees it from another perspective. Somebody sees something to be good based upon their reason. The next person comes and sees something to be bad. In actual fact, the irony that you find that is an example for this, even within the ignorance of the Israelis themselves, that when you notice they are interrogated or questioned, they literally think that they are doing something good. They are defending the massacre and the genocide that is occurring within the Palestine, within the Palestinian brothers and sisters. And this shows you a clear-cut evidence. It's not like they are stupid. It's not like they're not intelligent. There's something that's missing there. That's the problem. And what is that? The hidayah from Allah. The guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays within the Quran and the authentic sunnah. I might see something in a way like a cup, half empty. The next person might see the cup half full. And so this tells us that when something is inconsistent in determining what is fundamentally right and what is fundamentally wrong, it cannot be my measurement to understand. But what is the thing that is consistent? What is the thing that is not subject to change? What is the thing that is clear proof cut? It's none other than the Quran and the authentic sunnah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Why do I emphasize on this, Jamaatul Muslimin? Because with all the problems that we are facing today, we find ourselves first running to every other avenue of advice and guidance, then going back to the Quran. going back to the sunnah. Then you find people say, but Sheikh, is he a Sheikh ni? How am I going to go open the Quran? How am I going to study the sunnah? Who said that you had to be a Sheikh to go study the Quran and sunnah? Who said that the Quran and sunnah only belongs to the elite of the scholars? The Quran and sunnah is meant for every human being until the day of Qiyamah. But of course, you have to first get the credentials to start speaking on behalf of the deen. Because there's a big difference. There is something called being religious, and there's something called being an authoritative figure in religion. And sometimes people misunderstand the two. Just because I read the Quran, and many of us, unfortunately, even find ourselves depending on translation instead of the Arabic. As a teacher, this is what you experience. That many a times when you have discussions and you come to understand, you see, okay, mashallah, quote me the ayah, and then it'll be in English. You say, hold on, hold on. Do you know that translation is also subjective? That's a whole science on its own. That whatever I'm going to understand by the translation, it's going to be subject to the person that translated the word. And that is why I can look at a word in Arabic, and we know how deep is Arabic. Arabic, one word can give you 1,000 meanings. But that is why the understanding of Arabic will contextualize the meaning. The understanding of the language itself will give you that ability to differentiate between what is right and what is wrong. But me just depending on somebody's translation, that is me merely just blindly imitating. And we know that human beings, no matter who they are, no human being can claim that they are infallible. No human can claim that they are not open to error or any mistakes. In actual fact, our great imams themselves did that disclaimer. That Imam Shafi'i says, and he says so beautifully, he says, if you come across an opinion of mine and it might contradict the Quran and Sunnah that you come across, even though that never occurred, he says, take my opinion and throw it out the window. Because my opinion has no value versus the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of the Rabbi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Because this rationality, no matter who we are, is limited, Jamaatul Muslimin. We cannot even understand what is the depths of the ocean. How can we think that this aql is meant to guide me in this universe? It doesn't make sense. And so when we find an avenue where people are starting to avoid the Quran, avoid going to the sunnah, we have to become very wary. Especially when we start seeing people coming to undermine the authentic sunnah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Remember, Jamaatul Muslimin, there are things that are compulsory and then there are things that are recommended. And in no way, when it's things that deals with recommendations, that it's fard upon you to do. The reason I mention this is that I've already come across a so-called academic that had belittled an authentic hadith that is found in Bukhari and mentioned by other muhaddithun. And what is this hadith? So example, this hadith deals with the urine of the camel. So then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that urine of the camel has proposition that it has certain things within it that can give you cure. And the statement that this person said when dealing with the hadith, he says, how barbaric do you think I am that I'm going to drink urine? Astaghfirullah, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? If I could use a different word, I would use it, but we're in the masjid. Huh? Has he not come across the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَبِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا الْيَوْمِ قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is it with Allah and His Prophet, the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that you belittle, that you mock, that you undermine? Allah says, don't apologize today. When is this day? Day of Qiyamah. Don't apologize today, for you have become kafir when before you are a mu'min. We have to be wary of these things, Jamaatul Muslimin. The Rabbi alayhi sallam did not say that it's farz for you to go and drink urine. It is a recommendation. And so whether you prefer it or you don't prefer it, that is up to you. But undermining and belittling the sunnah, that is what is rejected. That is what is rejected. Because the Rabbi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was an example in all aspects of life. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ The Nabi alayhi sallam was an example in every aspect of life. Now think about it again. When we are comparing reason to revelation, We understand that the revelation is the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is understood by the ulama as kalamullah, as the absolute divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has every other attribute, as I describe it, is eternal with no beginning, everlasting with no end, not subject to change, described with all perfection, and no error and no contradictions comes close to the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of those things come close, because it's not the words of creation, Jamaatul Muslimin. But now coming back at our reason, we know through the centuries and through the ages how humanity has learned the lesson the hard way by thinking that it can just trust its intellect. By thinking that what it's doing, khalas, mashi, this is going to work out. And then it turns out later on, it doesn't work out. Why is it that we every time have to learn the lesson the hard way before we actually learn the lesson? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly speaks to us and tells us that this Quran and this authentic sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, it's not just a way of life, Jamaatul Muslimin. Without Quran and sunnah, there's no life. There is no life. Because we have to see how confused people are without Quran and sunnah, then you will see the difference. If you look how people are so confused without the hidayah of Allah that right now they're even doubting whether they are male or female. I mean, really, ya Allah. You know the LGBTQT plus, that plus, every time I tell my shaykh, that plus is let to know we're not done yet. We're still busy and we're going to continue. I'm making dua for the day when the minus sign is going to come. I'm waiting for that day. But that is a reality, Jamaatul Muslimin. There is a trial that this ummah is facing. That whether we realize it or not, our youth are exposed to this. And we are no longer at the time where we can just tell youngsters, look here, follow, khalas, don't question, submit. Alhamdulillah, those who are brought up old school, alhamdulillah, we survived. We are here today. But whether we like it or not, times change. So it's not that the Quran and Sunnah changes, it's how we implement the Quran and Sunnah that changes. It is how we deal with the Quran and Sunnah that changes. But the Quran as principle and qawaid, that never changes, Jamaatul Muslimin. But the one thing that we need to keep in mind, especially with our youth, is that we need to bring them back to the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. How many books have you given to your youngsters to read of the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? How many books have you given to your youngsters to read the tafaseer of the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But many of us giving other things instead of that. Many of us are making sure that whatever I did not receive when I was young of dunya, I'm going to give my child. Do we not know that this dunya is a facade? The more deeper you get into it, the more deeper you're going to be in a dark place when it comes to the akhirah. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam tells us that the dunya is sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. It is the prison of the believer and it is the jannah, the paradise of a disbeliever. Why? Because it's all about dunya. In actual fact, speaking about the Palestinians, wallahi, this comes to mind. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba one day that there's going to come a time where the Ummah, all the nations around you, are going to eat you like a piece of flesh that is on a plate. And so the Sahaba, thinking to themselves, how is this possible? And literally they ask, "Awa min qilla ya Rasulullah?" Is it because we're going to be little in number? And the Rabbi says, no, bal antum kathir. That day you will be many. And mashallah, look at our Ummah. We have no problem with numbers. We have no problem with wealth and finance. The problem is, as the Nabi is going to describe for us right now, so the Sahaba asked, are we from little, ya Rasulullah? Is that why they're going to helm us and eat us like we are nothing? The Nabi alayhi salam says, no, that day you will be many in number. Walakin akhadatkumul wahn. But wahn overtook you. So the Sahaba asked, ya Rasulullah, wa mal wahn? What is this wahn, ya Rasulullah, that you're speaking about? And the Nabi alayhi salam said, حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. Your love for this world, your desire for this world, the way you prioritize this world, the way that you only work for this world, the way that you only live for this world, this is all understood by the hadith.
The Nabi says, their love for this dunya and their dislike for death. This is what's going to occur. And wallahi, whether we acknowledge it or not, unfortunately, that is our state today. That is our state today, Jamaatul Muslimin. We will risk our akhirah, but if it has to be an operation, maybe of a transplant between heart and heart, we're going to make sure we get the best of doctors. But when it comes to our deen, okay, we can go to Sheikh Google, he's enough. And now again, we have ChatGPT. You see this, youngsters know about this. Is ChatGPT now the Sheikh? Is Google now the Sheikh? You will go to such an opinion and take guidance from that. But when it comes to your own health, you'll make sure that it's the best of the best. You'll make sure that you take out insurance. You'll make sure that you cover your whole family. Why is it that you are covering your family and yourself for the dunya and you're forgetting about the akhirah? Why are we not investing in deen when it comes to our ummah? And especially in our youth, Jamaatul Muslimin. Because if our youth are not equipped and educated when it comes to this deen, wallahi, this ummah has a very dark future. Has a very dark future. And what is important when we also approach our youth and our youngsters is that we actually follow the way that the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had approached them. The Nabi alayhi sallam was not a person that when you were in his company, that he belittled you in any way. The Nabi alayhi sallam is a person that when you were in his company, that he would use his rank, and he's more ahaq than anyone else, more right to use his rank amongst us all because he's the best of creation. He is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the way that he interacted with people and the way that he educated people, you can see absolute humility. Absolute humility. And I give an example. I give an example the way that the Nabi alayhi sallam will interact with the youngsters, how he would guide them, how he would teach them. An example comes to mind where the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is with the Sahabi Mahmud ibn al-Rabi'a, great Sahabi. He says that one day I was sitting, and he was a youngster. He says, one day I was sitting with the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we were taking wudu. And so the Nabi alayhi sallam, he says, at that point I was doing something that was incorrect in my wudu. So look at the wisdom of the Nabi. So Nabi alayhi sallam, to grab his attention, what does he do? He takes water and he throws it in the youngster's face. He says, hey! And he looks at Rasulullah, and Rasulullah starts to smile. Look at that mahabbah. And this is when the Nabi alayhi sallam is now going to educate him. This is when the Nabi alayhi sallam is going to show him. We know then when Sayyidina al-Husayn jumped on the back of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not stop the salah and say salah is batil. Wallahi, a masjid that does not have youngsters in it has a dark future. Yes, we have to focus. Yes, we have to be disciplined. But keep in mind, Sahaba even made salah while there was a battle and a war taking place. While a battle and a war took place, there's something called Salatul Khawf. This was the dedication and the focus that they had. But what do? We blame the child for our inability of focusing and being determined in our salah. Yes, we have to discipline them. But discipline does not mean that you belittle them or disgrace them. Because you don't want the child to attach, whether you like it or not, he's a child, he will do that. That he will attach that pain and the disgrace with the feeling of the masjid. And then you become the reason, one of the reasons as to why that child will dislike to come to the masjid. We have to show that compassion and that love, Jamaatul Muslimin. When you look at Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions, and this is mentioned in Al-Qan fi Ulum al-Quran by Imam Jalaluddin al-Suyuti, she says that for the first 12 years, the Nabi alayhi salam installed and educated us to matters of iman, matters of the heart, matters of faith. And she says, only when I came to Medina, then we understood the rules and regulations and the conditions and how things have to be specific. And she says that if the Nabi had to start the other way around, then you would not find many becoming Muslim. Why is it that when we treat youngsters today, make salah, why, daddy? Because I told you so, finish. Where's the mahabba? Where's speaking and communicating with him? Because the Nabi alayhi sallam was a person that communicated with the youngsters. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that submission does not necessarily generate love. What is the ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, wallahu ghafurur rahim." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you truly love me, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Not the other way around. Not follow the Nabi and one day you will love. Because that is sometimes our attitude. We think that when we shut our youngsters up, that is going to avoid a permanent problem. No, that might be a solution to a temporary issue, but it's going to last further. Because you know what is going to happen? When they do not get an answer from us, then they go to these confused people to get an answer. Then they go to that facade to get an answer. That is the problem there, Jamaatul Muslimin. Forgetting that at the end of the day, the heart is the most important organ that needs to be on that understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the heart comes first before you direct and you order people to do things. I give a very simple example as to, and I use this experiment, I call it an experiment, in many of the schools that I go to. So I would have, and in actual fact, I did it once here also at Islamia College. And I would ask the students, and this is a question for each and every one of us, that we need to evaluate and answer ourselves. To know how far are we with Allah, or how close we are with Allah. So I would ask them, does anybody have any best friends? And of course, they can't wait. Yeah, Sheikh, this one raises his hand, that one raises his hand. How long do you know each other? Ah, Sheikh, from primary school, and we're now in high school, matric. We know each other for long, 5 years, 6 years, some of them 3 years, and all of these things. Say, okay, that's good. So my next question for them would be, so do you think that you know your friend inside out? Like, do you know what makes them happy? You know what makes them sad? You know what makes them nervous? You know what makes them angry? And this one youngster says, yes, Sheikh. I say, oh, okay, mashallah. He says, no, Sheikh, even further. We can communicate with each other without even words being used. We just look at each other. Our facial expression alone will tell a whole khutbah. I said, okay, mashallah, that's good. So meaning you know each other so well that you are even beyond words with your relationship. I said, okay, now I'm going to ask you the next question. How did you get there to that understanding? How were you able to acquire such a high knowledge of your friend? Okay, the effort that is put into that relationship, the company and the time that is spent in that relationship, the compromise and assistance that is also put in that relationship, the things that you do for your friend, fi sabilillah, that is what has now made this relationship as strong as it is. Now I tell them the next question is, okay, now take that relationship of how well you know your friend and how strong that relationship is and how much effort, how much strive, how much time, and how much company you have spent in that relationship. And now compare that to how well you know Allah. And many a times, we know creation better than Creator. And that is why, Jamaatul Muslimin, that should not be the case. Because when one has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their life, as the famous athar goes, they say that who finds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives, then you have found everything. And who loses Allah in their lives, what is there left to be found after? What is there left to be found after? And that is why it is important for us to prioritize ma qala Allah wa ma qala Rasul. What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? And what is it that the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says? Because with Quran and Sunnah, you will never go wrong. But with your aql alone, there's a big possibility that you might end up wrong. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability and the opportunity to always prioritize the Quran and Sunnah within our lives. That we prioritize our investments in the akhirah more than the dunya. And that inshallah we are able to educate and equip our youth and our youngsters, not just with the necessary knowledge, but also the necessary love, so that they can increase iman upon iman. Amin rabbil alameen. Wa sallillahumma ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Wa akhru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
We say Jazakumullah khairan to Sheikh Zayed Fattar for this beautiful reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Sheikh Zayed with khairat, barakat, and afiyah, siha wa salama. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Sheikh Zayed is the director of Darul Tawheed Institute South Africa and also one of the senior lecturers at Medina Institute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless and protect and preserve our beloved Sheikh. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Just to make mention, the Jama'at al-Muslimin, inshaAllah, a beautiful event that took place here at Islamia and at Masjid al-Furqan over the past week. One of the learners, alhamdulillah, Muhammad Qasim, unfortunately is not here today. Muhammad Qasim, who started his hifz career in 2019, and alhamdulillah, earlier this year, he has completed his hifz. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah preserve him, amen, ya Rabbil Alameen. And just for the past 3 days, that was Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, he sat and recited consecutively 10 ajza each and every day, and he completed the Quran, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant many more to do that. And amen, ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the understanding of the Quran as well. So it is a very unprecedented achievement for Islamia Hifz Academy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produce more of them. Amen, ya Rabbil Alameen. There are another two students, inshallah, who will attempt a similar feat before the end of this year, inshallah. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa tabarak ta'ala, preserve our youth. Amen. May they become hafid al-Quran, and may they understand the Quran, and most importantly, live the Quran. Amen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Can we just ask the brothers to stand, min fadlik, to fill all the gaps in between, yeah? So next to Mr. Adams is my ex-principal. There's quite a few gaps. I know he's a principal, you don't need to be afraid of him. Sit, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Come forward, brothers. Jazakumullah.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة Thank you.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، كان الله ولا مكان وهو على ما كان قبل خلق المكان لم يتغير عما كان، علم ما كان وعلم ما يكون وعلم ما لا يكون وعلم ما سيكون وعلم ما لم يكن إن كان كيف كان يكون. وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فيا إخوتي في الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. فقد قال الله تعالى في كتاب العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم، فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول. وعندما تحدث النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم عن أهمية السنة فقال: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم، ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولوالدي ولوالديكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فيا عباد الله، اتقوا الله ما استطعتم. فقد قال الله تعالى في كتاب العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وعندما أخبرنا النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم عن أهمية التقوى فقال: اتق الله حيثما كنت. أما بعد،
فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى وما أنتم بمعجزين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر الصهاينة أعداك أعداء الدين اللهم شدد شملهم اللهم مزق جمعهم اللهم دمر ديارهم اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين اللهم انصر إخواننا في غزة اللهم انصر إخواننا في رفح اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان يا رب العالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وهم وتم وأكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم سوف رحمكم الله الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ومن أحسن قولا وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله العظيم استغفر الله العظيم استغفر الله العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم ونتوب إليه ونسألك توبة ومغفرة وهداية لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اغفر لأهل القبور من المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات ارفع لهم الدرجات وكفر عنهم السيئات يا مولانا يا رب العالمين اللهم رب الناس أذهب البأس اشف أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاؤك شفاء لا يغادر سقما اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين اللهم انصر إخواننا في غزة اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان يا رب العالمين قال الله تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم بفضلك دعواهم فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحية فيها سلام